Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now at that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. And so the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Creator, and our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Before I go any further, I just want to take a moment to say thank you. Thank you to you, Christ the King Lutheran Church here in Bloomington, for your ministry and for your partnership in the gospel. I am particularly thankful for your invitation for several Synod staff members to come and be with you in these weeks after Synod Assembly to talk about the work and the ministry that we do together as the church. And I am also grateful for your mission support, that portion of your offerings which you share with the Synod office. What's more is that for every dollar that we receive in the Synod office, we send 50 cents of that on to the churchwide organization so that together we can be doing more in the name of Jesus, like supporting the millions of Ukrainian refugees that are fleeing the war, including the ones that are going to be coming to the United States through the work of Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services and Lutheran World Relief. This work not only cares for the immediate needs of people, safe places to be and food for their bellies, but also the work of people around the globe caring for emotional and spiritual needs as well. So together, we are making a difference in people's lives, and I thank you for that. Now, Karl Barth, he was a leader in the church movement that pushed back against the Nazi regime in Germany. He once said that a preacher should prepare for their sermon with a Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. And anyone who pays attention to the news not only knows about the war in Ukraine, but how much more brokenness there is in our world, in our country, and right here in the Twin Cities. A survey was done a few years ago asking people which passage of the Bible they turn to in times of distress. The number two answer was the Psalms, generally speaking. Any guesses about the number one answer? Yes, right? I heard it somewhere over here. The 23rd Psalm, by far, was the number one answer of where people turn to in Scripture in times of pain. It's why I think it is one of the most common texts that are read at funerals, because these words, they are drenched in the promise of God's presence, God's promise to abundantly provide for us, and the hope of a future so much better than any pain we experience in the present. Now, I know we're singing the psalm in just a little bit, but I thought I'd read it for us so it's fresh in our minds. So hear these words. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not be in want. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside still waters. You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is overflowing. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friends, this is the quintessential message from God and from our ancestors in the faith who knew of difficult and painful times, to say that we are not alone in our pain, and it does indeed get better. But the thing is, this psalm isn't just about things getting better at some far-off point, maybe in the last day of the resurrection, when God's goodness and mercy finally catch up to us. It is about life with God right now. For millions of Christians living in Africa and Asia and other places around the globe where people are persecuted for being Christian, where people live under oppressive regimes of unjust governments, where food and water remain inaccessible to most citizens, where people live on less than a dollar a day, the 23rd Psalm is as much about comfort as it is about politics. It is about saying to a president or a prime minister who is hoarding relief supplies or trying to eradicate your tribe and way of being that you are not in charge. It is God who is my shepherd. It is God who takes care of me and not you. And I will not fear you or your oppressive ways because God is with me. Now, of course, here in the United States, many of us do not suffer from inadequate access to food and water most of the time. And most of us in this country have the privilege to turn on the faucet in the kitchen or the bathroom and clean water comes out. And we can go to the grocery store whenever we want to buy milk and bread and other necessities, current inflation and supply chain issues notwithstanding. And when needed, there are places that people can turn to when financial resources run thin, like your very own ministries, like Loaves and Fishes. Did you hear what Pastor Rory said? This, right here at Christ the King, is the largest place of loaves and fishes in the state of Minnesota. You are doing amazing things of setting feasts before people and being a place where God can provide for others. And it's not just loaves and fishes. You have the Community Health Initiative and all of the different ministries that are connected to that that you started a few years ago. And along with many other feeding and support ministries in the Twin Cities, people can find places to be cared for. So in essence, we live in a land of plenty here. And in fact, our country is so plentiful that we need to be convinced to buy more and more and more because there is plenty to be bought. Apple comes out with a new iPhone every single year. And even though their previous model is good and the tweaks that they make don't make it all that much better, they still come out with a new one. And every year when they launch, within days, if not hours, they're sold out. Apple's share of the market is not increasing by that much. They're just convincing us who own iPhones to get a new one. And each new weather season brings ads for the latest must-have fashion pieces, including the latest and greatest shoes. Or at least that's what my inbox tells me every day. And at Target yesterday, I was shopping in preparation for my brother who's arriving tomorrow for a visit. And I was looking to pick up some of his comfort foods. And I was overwhelmed in the cookie aisle. While his favorites are Chips Ahoy, right next to them was Oreos. And there were well over a dozen different kinds of Oreos. sitting on the shelves. And that's just the tip of the cookie iceberg, because if you go to Oreo's website, currently there are 36 kinds of Oreos that are being offered right now. And that doesn't even include some of the flavors that I've had recently, because they're now out of season. God forbid you have gingerbread in the spring. But you can get the originals too, with all sorts of different colors of the cream filling and different shapes implanted on it. Right? Who doesn't need football-shaped Oreos at a Super Bowl party? Right? So we can laugh about all of these things. And I picked these examples in part because I've been shopping for some of them in the last week, or at least AT&T tells me I should be shopping for a new phone. Friends, this is only 6 months old. But I could have substituted any number of things. You could have substituted any number of things into the stories of the ways in which you're encouraged to buy, and the ways in which you're told that you need to buy. You can't live without these things. We're told every single day by advertisement, television shows, peer pressure to fit in, buy one, get one sales, and so much more, that we should want more stuff, nicer stuff, newer stuff, and want a lot of it. And if we don't have it, we're missing out. We aren't cool enough, smart enough, likable enough, worthy enough, blank enough. You can fill that in. But what if we read the 23rd Psalm to push back? Not against political systems, because that's a sermon for a different day when we know each other a little better, but economic ones. What if we read, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want," and then actually didn't want? Instead, thought of all the ways in which God provides food and drink and safe places to live. Thought of the ways that God provides all of that for us and for our enemies. Because that's exactly what Psalm 23 says, that God, who is our shepherd, provides us with everything that we need: food, drink, shelter, safety, belonging. This infamous psalm depicts the work of God's economy, overcoming the economy of the world and the mindset of scarcity that is so prevalent in our society. The scarcity that pushes us to want more, even when we have enough. I mean, how many of you, when the alarm went off this morning, hit the snooze button and felt like you didn't get enough sleep? All right, thank you for not leaving me alone, friends, right? Lynn Twist, in her book, The Soul of Money, uses this as an example to show us how embedded not enough is in our society. Because some of us wake up in the morning already thinking, there's not enough. Not enough sleep, or not enough time, not enough hours in the day to get everything done that we want to get done, not enough hours in the day to have an actual good work-life balance. And let's not even forget about the ways in which not enough impacts the church. Not enough people to fill out ministry teams. Not enough offerings. Not enough people in worship. Not enough people returning to worship now that it's a little bit safer to be in person together. Our lives are dominated by being reminded of what we don't have, rather than being reminded of the abundance of riches that are right in front of us. We are driven to get more instead of encouraged to be content and celebrate enough, to measure our lives by what we lack rather than rejoicing in what we have. And while this psalm was written about 3,000 years ago, I imagine that the author of this psalm knew something about never enough culture that we live in today. Because this isn't a new phenomenon, it's just our 21st century version of it. And Psalm 23 has stood the test of time as a testament to God's provision. I believe deeply that in the waters of baptism, that not only includes God's promise that God claims us and names us as God's own, that God will never let us go, but that God will also always provide what we need to be faithful. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, God does just that. The Holy Spirit has knit this community together, Christ the King, here in Bloomington, to do the work that God has called you to do with the people that are a part of this community and the gifts that are already here. Regardless of the ways in which constitutions and guiding documents have created boundaries of synods, the Holy Spirit has already provided everything that we need together as the Minneapolis Area Synod to be a faithful witness in the world today. And that includes partners, whether we're talking about Lutheran Social Services, Lutheran World Relief, or our friends across the river in St. Paul. God provides. And when we might forget, this table right here, this is a feast where God always shows up in the bread and the wine. While it might be just a little morsel and taste of God's presence with us in flesh and blood and bread and wine, God always shows up abundantly with forgiveness, with presence, with love, with grace. The Holy Spirit makes that possible too. My friends, you have been given such great gifts to be a part of God's work in the world. And you are already doing so many amazing things, some of which I just learned about this morning when Pastor Rory made his announcement. I think you know what enough is. I think you know what abundance is. I wonder what it would look like if you helped as model, not only as a congregation, but in your lives and in the community, of what it would look like to say no to scarcity, to say no to not enough, and embrace the abundance and the enough that is in front of you every single day. I think you might change even more lives than you're already changing. I think your own heart might even be changed a little bit as you start to see the world with a different lens and different eyes. Because the Good Shepherd that is our God will never let you go, will never let you down. Sometimes you might be the answer to other people's prayers when they're looking for provision. And sometime you might be turning to the neighbor right next to you in the pew or across the way to be the one who provides God's provision for you in a time of pain and struggle. My friends, lean on these words, and as we sing them in just a few minutes, wonder about what it would look like to really grab hold of God being your shepherd, God's rod and staff providing comfort, and God saying, I will never let you go, and I will never let you fall. Amen.